Again, I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this evening's gospel message, which is the story of the birth of Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone on into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us pray. God, we are thankful to be here tonight in your house of worship. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts may be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, it is so good to be with you this evening. If you've been coming to our Christmas Eve services, you're probably wondering, who's this new guy up here? So I'll just take a brief moment to introduce myself. My name is Caleb Fritz, and I started here in July as the new associate pastor. So it has just been a marvelous 6 months for me being here and being among the people of Muncie and especially the people of this great church here in Muncie, First United Methodist Church, getting to work alongside our lead pastor, Pastor Arlene, and so many of the great folks here in leadership and serving God and serving the mission of the church here at Muncie. So welcome, good afternoon, and it is good to be here with you this afternoon. And I just wanted to share a few words with you this afternoon about promises. Talking a little bit about the fulfillment of a promise. You probably all approach today, I feel like we all probably approach this idea of promises a little bit differently. We've all probably made promises throughout our lives, whether it was to your boss or to your children, to your spouse maybe. I think about the promises I made on my wedding day when my wife and I got married. We all make promises throughout life, and I remember growing up thinking about promises, and when I was young, I remember being taught that they were like a really serious thing. I remember if you used the word promise, that was like a really serious thing, and that you should only really make promises if you intend to keep them. Once you've made a promise, you really need to keep that promise. Of course, as we grow older and we enter the world of adulthood, you start to realize that there's a lot of promises that are made that don't necessarily get taken that seriously, and they don't always come true. We learn as we grow into adulthood that there's a lot of good words thrown around, but there's also a lot of broken promises. out there as well. I think of the words of Bernard Baruch. He was a 20th century American financier, philanthropist, statesman, political consultant, and he said this. I think he captures probably for many of us how we think about promises today. He said, vote for the person who promises least. That person will be the least disappointing. Right? So I think that's probably, if we're honest with ourselves, how most of us think about promises when we approach this word, promise. What does it mean to make a promise and keep a promise? Probably our sentiments for a lot of us carry this sort of this idea that if you expect a little, you'll get hurt less. Right? And so that's how we sort of approach this. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we probably bring a little bit of that skepticism then into our faith life, into how we approach the promises of God. You know, the Bible is full of all kinds of promises that are made to us by God, which is interesting, I think, in and of itself, as I think about the God of the universe, the creator of the cosmos comes down into our world and makes promises to you and I. I mean, that seems a little odd to me that the God of the universe, the almighty creator, would come down and like commit himself, bind himself and his word, himself to like me and you. So I think that's pretty interesting, pretty powerful. That speaks to me that God would promise anything to us in the first place. But he does. He comes down and he makes these promises, and the Bible is full of these promises. Maybe you've heard some of them. I wanted to share just a few, or we would be here all night. There's so many. But I thought of a few big ones that came to my mind. Here's some of the promises that God has made to you. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. These are all different verses in Scripture. I will fight your battles. You need only to be still. I will go before you and prepare a way. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. Though your sin is like scarlet, it shall be white as snow. I am he who blots out your transgressions and remembers your sin no more. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jesus, God says, he who believes in me will never die. I will give you words and wisdom. I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will empower you. I will transform you. I am working all things together for your good. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. And finally, I love you with an everlasting love. These are just some of the promises that God has made to his people throughout history. And you can read about these in the Bible. These are just some of the promises that God, the God of the universe, has chosen to bind himself to, not for his sake, but for our sake, because he loves you and me that much. That's pretty incredible when you think about that, these promises that God has made to us. The difference between us and our promises and God and his promises is that when God makes a promise, God keeps it. And that has been the track record of God's promises that we read about in Scripture. In fact, we're gathered here in this place today to celebrate the greatest promise ever made, and therefore the greatest promise ever kept in the history of the world, which was the birth of a Messiah, our Lord and Savior, and Jesus Christ. You see, the prophets of the Old Testament had long announced the promise that God would redeem and save his people, that God would be our Emmanuel. We hear that word. That word simply means God with us. And that was a pretty amazing promise for the people in the Bible, because for them, God was not necessarily with them. God was over them. God was above them. God even went before them in a certain sense. But when they were promised that God would be Emmanuel, they were being promised that God would truly be not just above them or over them or beside them or that he would go before them, but that he would be with them through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so today is the day each year when we gather together, and why we're here is to remember and to celebrate and to bear witness to. And I think most of all for me, it's to give thanks that our God keeps his promises. In the birth of Jesus, God's greatest promise of love and forgiveness, of truth and grace, of hope and salvation was fulfilled. God's greatest promise was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh, God himself in human form, and dwelt among you and I. And so I want you to know today that the same truth, that I myself discovered at one point in my life, and it's this, that Jesus Christ is not just a promise. He's your promise. Jesus was not just born to us, he was born for you. Jesus is not just the Savior. He's each and every one of your saviors here tonight. And so, friends, my hope and my prayer for you this Christmas is that you would claim that promise over your life, over your family, over your coming and your going. My prayer is that this Christmas we might celebrate the God who is in the business of keeping his promises. The God who's in the business of reaching out to us in love and mercy and grace. The God who has the power to transform lives in a way that we could never imagine. I think about my journey to where I'm standing here tonight. I think about all of the different things that have happened in my life that have brought me to this moment as I stand here as the associate pastor. And I'm humbled and eternally grateful that our God keeps promises, and that the promises that I read in Scripture have come true, every one of them, in my life. And that's why I'm here, and that's what gets me out of bed and through the next day. And all of the trials and the hardships and the things that I go through as a Christian and even as a pastor that I'm not immune from. I'm thankful that there's a God who is not just above me and over me, but there's a God who has chosen to be with me, that came down to this earth and through the power of his Spirit inside of me, walks with me and keeps his promises true in my life. So I pray that as you go about this Christmas season, that you would think about, contemplate, and maybe invite into your heart the God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Won't you pray with me?